providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. I hope everybody enjoyed those first few segments with Jesse Felder. Jesse does a great job of outlining more the macro aspects of these markets and really trying to predict what's going to happen, especially with central bank policy. We're going to shift focus just a little bit more to the actual charts as we are now chatting with Richard Postma, a.k.a. Doc. Doc, we chat with you at the end of every month, and at the end of last month, you said, look out, June's not looking that great, especially for the precious metals investors. And when we say precious metals investors, we are talking about more the stocks, the underlying gold and silver stocks. So, Doc, as we ended June, boy, oh boy, we had breakdowns at probably the worst time to have breakdowns at the very end of the month and the quarter. Starting off with GDX, GDXJ, both have broken below their 52-week support levels that came in more at the tail end of summer, early fall last year. And we're at multi-year lows now. I am not a technician. However, you've taught me a lot about reading charts, and quite simply, you look at breakdowns below key support levels, moving averages rolling over, and low volume. To me, it does not look good in any sense. Doc, what's your outlook for the gold stocks? Focus more on GDX and GDXJ first, please.
Well, Corey, you said early, I said, look out for June. Well, I'm going to tell you, look out for July. I think July is going to be really problematic. And what's not good here is that if you look at GDX, it's going to end the month at a low we haven't seen except going back to 2020. So it's closing below all of those intra-week lows that were at the end of last year and in January. And that is a very unhealthy picture. And both of them are doing that. And gold looks really weak here. And I've been saying right along that you don't get a move like we've seen in gold for this long on the monthly chart without it eventually where pricing doesn't touch the lower Bollinger band. And I think we're headed toward the lower Bollinger band on the monthly chart, which is around 1700. And I think the stocks have been telling you that. And now GDX, GDXJ, and gold are starting to break down, and so is silver.
Yeah, Doc, and when looking at GDXJ, there was a lot of support around that 37, 38 range because it had bounced off at about three or four times on the daily and the weekly charts. And just even if you pan back, you didn't want to see something below 35. It had even gotten down there just a couple weeks ago. But now we're down at 32 on the GDXJ. So do you think this is a capitulation move where it's going to just keep selling off and then bounce around and base for a while, not going to be a V-shaped recovery? Or do you think that it's getting a bit oversold here?
You can get little bounces, Shad, I think, as we move down. And by the way, GDXJ broke out, too, is going to have a closing week below anything we've seen in weeks. And you're going to get bounced back. But the path of least resistance now is definitely lower. It's interesting that on your some of your momentum indicators, or you look at RSI, it's already hitting the 30% line. And I think actually it's going to break below that, and we're going to be oversold for some time. And then I think once we bottom, and I've been saying this right along, I don't look for a V-shaped recovery because I think the conventional markets are in deep trouble too. And I don't think anything is going to help any of these markets for some time. I think we're going to, as we move into summer and the fall, we're going to be a lot lower. And it's going to be carnage across a lot of markets. And I said that in December of last year when everybody was so bullish that 2022, in my view, was going to be a very difficult year for all asset classes. And I think we're starting to experience that.
Yeah, it is even noteworthy to look at where the S&P is right now, pretty much giving up all those gains from 2021, which was a pretty easy year for investors. And it took 6 months to give up all those gains that it took 12 months to build on. Doc, what about silver stocks? Let's start with silver stocks. SIL, that is also breaking down in a fashion kind of like GDXJ to a greater degree, more so than GDX. Silver stocks are getting beat up as well. Any relief in sight for silver, or is silver at risk of even further underperforming this bear market?
Yeah, I think silver is going to be much more difficult than gold. At least with gold, you have it as a store of value and the prospect of inflation out there. Whereas, of course, we all know silver has that industrial component. I think it's going to get hit just as hard as gold, or maybe worse, because I think the CRB is starting to top out here, too. And we've seen copper break. I think we're going to see other areas break. We've seen uranium break. And I think what's going to happen with oil is I think oil will top the next 2 or 3 months. It won't be soon enough to save Mr. Biden and his Democratic Party. But I think we will start to see a topping, and I think we're going to start to see a break in oil later in the year. And that could be a positive, at least for these mining stocks, which are getting crushed with the inflation component, just like it's crushing the middle class right now.
Doc, I'd be curious to get your thoughts on some commentators and even some technicians have pointed out that sometimes gold is countercyclical to the rest of the commodities, maybe not so much silver, but when you look at how the commodities have almost all run to record highs, not just copper, but nickel, zinc, tin, iron, I mean, almost across the board, we've seen those kind of moves. It's interesting that silver didn't keep up, but the gold, you know, it hit an all-time high, but it really didn't ratchet as high as, say, some of these other commodities have. Is it possible that when the commodities roll over, that's actually what we would need to see to have a move, a shift over into the precious metals?
I think when we first see it, we might have some move yet lower in the precious metals. But I think the odds of them stabilizing here in a couple of months to 3 months, I think is very good. I don't see a massive sell-off in gold. I think it has to go down and test 1700. Then I'll be able to tell once we get down there what I think is going to happen at that point in time. But I'm still very constructive on gold. And the reason is, and I've said this many times, is because I'd love seeing the ADX on the monthly chart. On the monthly chart, it's meandered down very slowly, and that often means an underlying strength to a particular asset class. When you see on the long-term charts how slowly it takes to move down toward that zero midpoint on the MACD, and it's been very slow, and in fact, when you go back to 2011 and 12, when that market saw its low, I think it's going to take longer for this time around because that strength, the MACD is moving so slowly laterally to down. But that's a good sign telling you there's underlying strength to this market. And if it continues doing that, I think we're still going to be in good shape from the standpoint of this gold market not breaking down to levels that scare everybody.
So you're talking about gold in that aspect, right? Because gold, the argument being, has held up very well. Gold is mostly flat on the year, but again, that's not exciting. However, you compare it to everything else that's down multiple percentage, double-digit percentage that has done well. Where do you see support for gold, and does it even matter where gold finds support when you carry it over to the stocks?
I think we see support eventually down around 1700, and then you hope it holds a little bit. for a while. And like I said, when it gets to that area, I'm going to be able to tell a lot better whether I think we're going to really have another significant leg down. But I think we're headed for that, and that we may just muck around there for a while. And we're going to see that with these stocks. These stocks are telling you that gold is going lower here finally. They're just signaling it. And I know it's disconcerting to a lot of people, but we're going to be in this for a while. And I mentioned a long time ago that we're not going to see a turnaround from a bullish standpoint until at least 2023 at the earliest. So we're developing a trading range. And by the way, it's a lot better looking trading range than we saw in 2011 and 12, where you had a breakdown of almost, I believe it was about 45 or 46% from the top. This time, we're not even going to, we haven't seen anything below about 25%. So on a monthly basis, to compare to back then, we've held up pretty well.
Well, Doc, I know a lot of people are going to be very interested in your thoughts on the candy store. We've talked about the candy store being open as an analogy for when it's a good time to accumulate some of these really beat up mining stocks. And I'd be curious to find out, when you are nibbling, if you're expecting lower metals prices, not just in gold, but in silver, why not wait to nibble until you see a bottoming pattern? Or what is your process for accumulating these stocks on the dips?
Well, I'm still about 86% in cash. I bought a little bit just almost as a watch list for me when I go over my portfolio. But you're going to, Shad, you're going to get some of these juniors for pennies on the dollar before this is over. We're going to see levels for some of them we have never seen. And it's going to be amazing, the prices that are going to be out there. And also, if you notice, Newmont is starting to break down. Kinross is breaking down. Finally, the big players are starting to break down. And Newmont has a ways to go. And I told you before that one of my sentinel stocks to watch is Hecla. And Hecla is in the process of breaking down. And I'll tell you right now, I would not be surprised to see Hecla move down to $2 to $3 a share.
Wow. So some more pain across the board. And unfortunately, it's been all the stocks. Even the majors haven't withstood this pullback. Doc, a lot of this hinges, or a lot of this bear market is hinging on the Fed and their willingness to continue to tighten, even in the face of softening and weak economic data. Quite frankly, inflation is still staying higher. There are a lot of people, not just precious metals bugs, that are saying, look, the Fed is going to have to switch course because the economy can't withstand that. The U.S. is going to be in a recession, yada, yada. A lot of different examples and excuses why the Fed is going to switch course. But Powell seems to be sticking to his gun, saying that they are going to keep on hiking until they get inflation under control. Do you think Powell is lying to us, or do you think that we're going to have rate hikes probably through the end of this year?
I don't think Powell is blowing smoke this time. And there were so many people that took the easy out because they looked at the past and said, oh, he'll blink at the first sign of a problem. I don't think that's going to happen this time. I think he's serious. He's going to be Volcker-esque in some ways, and he's going to cause some pain in a lot of these asset classes. And I think he realizes he doesn't have many options. He wants to get up to close to 3 to 4% on the Fed fund rate, and he's got a ways to go. If he stops before that, all heck's going to break loose in these markets, and they're going to lose all kinds of credibility. I think he has to, this time around, set an example, and I think he's going to continue to raise rates. I believe July is the next FOMC meeting, and then I think we wait until September. So July and August, if he raises rates 50 to 75 percentage points again, we've got a couple months to wait expectingly for the September meeting, and that's going to not be a particularly positive thing for these markets. But I think he's going to continue to raise in the face of a recession, which we're in already. We're going to get a lot harder recession than people are aware of, I believe.
Well, Doc, with so many people waiting for this to play through, not just the July meeting, but the September meeting of the Fed, where they're going to potentially raise rate 75 basis points, is there anything that has your interest in the interim, or is it just a waiting game, or are you shorting some sectors at present? What are you doing personally in your portfolio?
I'm usually not a day trader, but I every time we get a rally in the stock market, I've been shorting, and I've been doing pretty well doing that. So every time, and then I'll take my positives from it, and I get out, and I wait for the next move up, and then I hit it again. So far, that's been a real positive for me. And otherwise, I'm trying to ascertain which precious metal stocks, when we do bottom, are the ones that I would really like to focus on. Because when we do have a move higher someday, I want to be involved in those stocks, because we're going to, Shad, get them at prices that are going to be just awesome. But then I don't think we'll get that V-shaped recovery. There will be enough damage where I think we'll see a bottoming pattern for a while, and then we gradually start to move up after we bottom. So we're going to be into this well into 2023.
So it sounds like investors are going to have some time, a bit of warning in this bottoming pattern. Undoubtedly, I'm sure investors are going to be pessimistic and potentially saying, oh, look, this pattern is just setting up for another leg lower. But Doc, what I'm hearing from you is that there is going to be pain here throughout this year. And then sometimes next year, we're going to have a process where simply markets move sideways.
Yes, and I think there's going to be so much damage done that the wealth effect will have been decimated in this country. And you're going to see this in housing, too. Just talking to realtors in my area, they're not getting the multiple offers like they were, and there's no escalation clauses going on anymore. So it's cracking already. And so once that wealth effect is really impacted, I think it's going to take time to recover again for people to get their confidence back.
Well, Doc, one other thing I'd like to get your thoughts on is, do you think in a recessionary environment, if we've got two negative GDP quarters in a row, that that's the kind of environment where we may see a sea change in how people invest? So far, everybody's been in the passive investing, the stock market can only go up, buy the dip mode for about the last dozen years. But now with this kind of a shakeup, do you think, not just in the precious metal sector, but in other sectors, we're going to see people be more selective in the stocks they pick versus just passive investing? And what areas of interest do you think are going to garner the most interest in a recessionary backdrop?
I think they are going to be more selective after this trauma because they're going to have less dollars, first of all. And I think they're going to be more selective. And we're going to get back to real earnings, because I think we're entering a real earnings recession here. You wouldn't know it by listening to Wall Street, but I think we're going to know by the third quarter that the earnings recession is upon us. And that's why a lot of these stocks are going to get hit even harder on the conventional market. And I think people, after experiencing this, forget about the algorithms a little bit. They're going to become much more selective and careful. When you get tremendous carnage, it changes behavior for a while, but then people start forgetting again. You know, you got your usual staples in a recession, you know, food and all, and the ones that we're used to. But I'm going to be looking at, I've been looking at certain biotech stocks, and I've been buying a couple of them very carefully here, and they're pretty close to being bottomed out already. They were one of the first that got hit really hard. And I'm going to broaden my portfolio. I'm not going to go all in on the precious metals like I have in the past. So I'm going to look at some of the tech stocks, and that's where I'm going to focus. And I'm going to try to stay with some solid companies as we go forward. But to close the month like we're doing, and closing at lows that we haven't seen, is not healthy going into July. So just don't be buying these dips, because it's going to be a long time before you should be ready to start purchasing some of these stocks.
All right, we're going to leave it there. Doc, I have to say, man, month after month, we seem to talk to you, and it seems to be pretty bearish, but it's been the correct call. This whole year has been bearish for really every sector, except for energy, but we're even seeing energy end this month and quarter on the back foot. So overall, again, just a tough market, a bearish market overall, and sounds like this month that we're in now, July, is going to be tough again. Sure wish we had better news for everybody, but Doc, I do appreciate your honesty and how accurate you have been. Everybody, thank you for tuning in to this weekend show. Looking forward to the rest of summer. Hopefully you all got out or get out to have a nice long weekend. Take your mind off these markets and be sure to join us early in the week as Shad and I will be back. Still trying to keep everybody as updated as we can on these markets. Everybody, thanks for tuning in. Doc, I hope you have a great rest of your weekend.